The following is general advice only and should not be construed as accounting, legal, or any other professional advice. The details of your situation are fact-dependent, and you are advised to seek the help of a competent professional. Welcome to CPA Reviewed, the podcast of another71.com, where we talk all things accounting and the CPA exam. Today is Friday, October 14th, and I am your host, Jeff Elliott. Well, I'm happy to announce that another71.com is now the second most visited accounting website in the United States. Second only to AICPA.org, and that is according to Alexa. And the reason for that is you, the readers. I am grateful for everyone out there who not only listen to this podcast, but visit my site on a daily basis and support everything that's going on there. So I really appreciate everyone. And their contributions over on the forum. The another71.com forum has really evolved into just more than just talking about the CPA exam. There's a lot of life discussion, career discussion. So I thank everyone who participates. So, and I'm grateful. All right, on today's show, we have a bunch of questions. And you can get in touch with me and I will answer your question. Go to another71.com, click in the upper right-hand corner, click Ask Jeff, and fire off your question, and I will answer it in an upcoming podcast. You can also reach me on my Facebook page at facebook.com/another71. I think we are approaching, was that 9,000 likes on there? No, not quite. Almost 8,800. So still have a ways to go to get 9,000. But all right. First question is from Amy. This is a long question, but I know that there's a lot of people out there in a similar situation. And my answer is going to be pretty basic. It all goes back to contact your board of accountancy. But Amy says, Jeff, I just passed my final section of the exam thanks to your Ninja Notes and the Wiley Test Bank. All right. I was just looking for some input or advice that you have for what I should do next. I'm currently a staff accountant at a privately held company. My direct supervisor is not a CPA, and the CFO is an inactive CPA, but the CEO is an active CPA. So neither the supervisor or the CFO are an active CPA, but the CEO is an active CPA. I work with the CFO every day and the CEO occasionally. Ultimately, a lot of my work is reviewed and used by the CEO. I'm hoping this could count towards my 2 years of experience that is required in Pennsylvania. However, I have a feeling that it won't. I contacted the Pennsylvania Board of Accountancy to get their input, but I haven't heard back yet. My next problem is I don't have any auditing or attestation experience. I live in a small town, and CPA firms are very minimal here. I will most likely need to change jobs or move to commute to a neighboring city for my auditing experience. My main question is, what should I do next? I've passed the exam, but I don't have the experience required to become licensed. Can I submit anything to my state board to get the licensure process started, or do I wait until I have completed my experience? You might as well wait until you get your experience. If you want to be licensed, then you might have to move. And you might have to change jobs. If being licensed isn't that big of a deal, then maybe you stay where you are. But I don't know. When I passed the exam, I had friends who passed who didn't care about getting licensed. My thought was, if I busted my butt, I'm going all the way. So I joined the AICPA. I got licensed. I'm currently licensed. And I just wasn't going to pass and then just not do anything with it. So it just didn't feel right. So ultimately, it's your call, but you definitely have some things to consider there. Ayana asks, hey, Jeff, I just want to know, since you've been here before, I'm currently restudying auditing and getting ready to take it for a third time. My previous scores were 62 and 66. I'm not pleased with my review course, considering my investment in it. I have the Wiley test bank and textbook. I'm thinking about not using my review course and just hitting the questions hard, multiple choice questions. I have the exam scheduled for November 5th and may push it up if I can find a new slot. My review course expires at the end of November, and I'm only planning on taking auditing and regulation this testing window. Do you think doing strictly multiple choice questions and only reading the two areas in which I was weak in is a good method, or do you suggest purchasing another review course even though my funds are tight? I've taken all the other parts and I scored a 69 on my first attempt with reg. Your advice is greatly appreciated. I would not just do multiple choice questions and read the book. The last time you scored a 66. So your review course is expiring, but that's okay. It sounds like you need to get a new one anyway because it doesn't match your learning style. So yes, I would get a new review course that has video lectures, and I don't think you can get all that done in a matter of, 20 days? So, yeah, you definitely need to reschedule your exam, and I would do that now because with Thanksgiving approaching, well, what's going to happen is accountants are so busy right now with the mid-October tax filing deadline that November is going to hit. They're like, oh man, I need to schedule my exam. Wow, I hope that there's some post-Thanksgiving exam slots open. Guess what? They will all be filled. So you need to do that now. If you're looking for a new review course, I just posted a new thing on another71.com. It's called 3 CPA review courses for under $1,800. And you don't need to spend $1,800. You just need to buy one course. And there's some courses there. Check out the demos before you make your purchase. But yes, I would get a new review course. Jenny writes, I didn't pass far in the July-August testing window. I missed it by 1 point. I know how that feels. I have scheduled audit and reg in the October-November window. Would you recommend me taking FAR on top of these two sections that I have scheduled? No, I would not. And I wouldn't let the fact that you scored 1 point affect your decisions at all, because I think when people score 74, they think that they're 1 point away from passing, which was the case back in July and August when you took the exam. But now it's been long enough to where you really need to go over the material again 100%. So I would wait and take financial in January. Emily writes, after passing all four sections of the CPA exam, roughly how long must I wait before receiving acknowledgement from my state board, which is Kansas, as well as information on the AICPA ethics exam? How long do I have after passing the CPA exam to attain my years of experience in accounting? The experience question, I would either call the State Board of Accountancy, or NASBA has a resource, the ALL, Accounting Licensing Library, something like that. Costs $10, but usually people use that if they're looking at multiple states. I would call Kansas State Board of Accountancy. They've always been helpful to me when I've called. And talk to Susan there. She's very helpful. And as far as how long you wait, basically what happens is after you pass your last section, NASBA sends the information to your state, and then your state sends the information to you. You can speed up that process by just going and downloading the PDFs off of your State Board of Accountancy and filling them out and sending them in. However, it sounds like you have an experience requirement, but the experience requirement will only affect your licensing. So you can speed up your certificate process by going directly to the Kansas Board of Accountancy website and filling that out. As far as the AICPA ethics exam goes, when I took the exam, Kansas still required the AICPA ethics exam. I would double check to make sure that's still the case. But I would just go to CPA2biz.com, which is the AICPA's website where they sell all their stuff, and I would get the CD-ROM version and just go ahead and knock that out. Monica writes, I'm having a hard time deciding which review course to use. I'm willing to buy the program and parts from different companies. Can you please give me some advice on which ones to use? I'm also a bit stressed out over the fact that if I buy the programs now, I would have to buy new material when it comes out in December. My plan is to start with financial, but I won't sit for my exam until January or February 2012. I would wait until December. That's what I would do. I mean, you don't want to start studying for financial anyway now. I mean, you don't want to drag that out. So you should study for financial over a course of 6 to 8 weeks. People usually spend 8 weeks on it, 6 to 8 weeks. And I would just wait till the 2012 version comes out. And you say December, which a lot of them probably do come out in December. And then I would take it at the end of February. As far as which review course to use, you know, the thing with CPA review courses and testimonials and stuff like that, one person will like a product and an instructor, the next person won't. And it's all about what course speaks to you and your learning style and your budget. So I recommend watching the videos. So if you are going to go buy an auditing course, go watch their auditing demo. And if you're watching it, if you're like, wow, I really like this person and I like their style, then buy it. If you are watching it and you think, man, this person, I don't think I could learn from them because their on-screen mannerisms or lack thereof are annoying to me. And so get another course. But again, I have the article up on another71.com, 3 courses under $1,800. And you should go check out those demos. Valerie writes, I enjoyed reading your story on Another 71 and I'm very encouraged by it. I just got my regulation score back and did not pass. What should I do? Well, you have to evaluate why do you think that you didn't pass? Was it because you gave 60% effort because you were extremely busy and everything? Or did you give 110% effort and you still failed and you don't think you can pass this time around using your current review course? Well, you need to get a new review course. Again, watch the demos and everything. And, you know, regulation is tricky. And so there are some tax concepts in regulation that are not just easy to digest. And so you need to get a review course that really drills down into some of the tougher stuff like like-kind exchanges, 1231, 1245, 1250 assets. What I would do, I would go to the Another 71 forum and say, hey guys, I need a good course for regulation. What do you recommend? And you'll get people who are like, eh, I failed with this course, but I passed with this course. Stuff like that. That's what I would do. Anonymous writes, wow. I purchased the Wiley software for regulation to practice multiple choice and simulations. I'm currently working many hours at a Big Four accounting firm. I'm scheduled to take audit in October, BEC November, and financial in February. Do you have any suggestions on how I can pass regulation and when I should take it, hopefully before busy season? Yeah. Regulation, you really have to, I mean, follow your review course. Don't be afraid to, again, to dig deep into some of those tougher topics like 1231, 1245, 1250 assets, and again, like kind of exchanges and AMT preference items and all that good stuff. Don't underestimate business law. I think a lot of people do that. Don't underestimate it. And when should you take it? Okay, so you're taking auditing in October, BEC in November, financial in February. So, oh man, that's during busy season. I don't think you can take regulation before busy season. I think you need to take regulation after busy season. So you take financial in February. March is a no testing month anyway. So then you have your insanity month in April. So take regulation at the end of May 2012. Todd writes, great inspirational video you posted. I think he is referring to the one on secrets to success, which is extremely inspirational. In your opinion on passing the CPA exam, what percent relies on a certain review course? What percent relies on just wanting it bad enough? Like the secrets to success video told us. Man, it's, I would say, I don't know, 85%. Depends on your work ethic and you wanting it bad enough. I mean, yeah, the wrong CPA review course can play into it, but you know, if you study your tail off and do everything right and just really do everything the right way, but your review course wasn't the right one for you, I don't think you're going to score a 50. I think maybe you'll score a, I don't know, 70. But I think a lot of it has to do with your personal work ethic. Because at the end of the day, not to use a cliche, but at the end of the day, accounting material is accounting. And auditing is auditing and tax is tax. You really can't dress it up that much. It is what it is. I'm starting to sound like a pro football player. we just all got to get on the same page and take it day by day and just keep getting better every week. One step at a time. So the material is the material and you just got to dig into it and be willing to sacrifice, be willing to maybe not buy Modern Warfare 3 when it comes out in November. So save modern, study and buy Modern Warfare 4 next year or something. Okay. Brian writes, I'm a CPA candidate in Georgia. I hope to have the test passed in January 2012. I have 2.5 years of continuous experience with a company in the tax department under an active CPA. However, I'm about to leave this October to become an executive recruiter, which means no more accounting for me. Let's say I pass in January 2012 and apply for my CPA, I assume apply for my CPA license in April 2012. Will my 2.5 years of experience still qualify me, even though I would not be working under an accounting role for 6 months? Contact Georgia and double check. But like if their rule is 2 years, I don't think it matters if you haven't been doing accounting for the last 6 months. I mean, seriously, double check with them, but shooting from the hip, my gut reaction is that won't matter. My other question is why do you want to be licensed? If you're going to be an executive recruiter, I suppose it would maybe give you an edge up status wise to have CPA on your business card when you're doing your executive recruiting. Because if you're not licensed then you cannot tell people that you're a CPA, obviously. And so that would add some, I mean, that might kind of separate you from the rest of the recruiting pack. But if you are going to get licensed, you have to ask yourself, am I willing to invest the hours and the money to maintain my CPE? And I can tell you that CPE is extremely boring, and you really have to want those three letters after your name on your business card, okay? So if you don't want to spend all that money every 2 years or whatever Georgia requires for CPE, I wouldn't even bother with it. Greg writes, I'm 21 and a senior at CCSU in Connecticut. I'm an accounting major and I want to pursue my CPA designation. My question is, as a senior in college, am I better off staying an extra year and completing the 150 credits needed to become certified, or should I graduate this May, look for a job in the accounting field in order to get experience, and later on go and take the exam and complete the extra year of school at some point? Well, the latter course of action that you described, where you graduate, get a job, go to night school and take it later, is what I did. I know a lot of people stay an extra year. You know, if you can, there's a lot of things to consider, because the opportunity cost of staying in college is, not only do you have the added expense of staying in school and maybe even more college debt, but the opportunity cost is the health benefits and the salary that you would otherwise earn as someone out there in the workplace. And I don't know, maybe you do go get a job and then take night school, maybe 6 hours a semester. That's what I did. It wasn't bad. I mean, twice a week you take off work at 5, drive to school, sit in a class for a couple hours, go home. It's not bad. I mean, you have to think about it. If you're in a master's program, I mean, you know what college is like. It's not like 8 to 5. There's always something to do. You know, there's a lot of video game time. So, I don't know. I might just take the plunge and go get a job and do it just like I described. So hope that's helpful. At least you know what your options are. Chana asks, I'm terrible at pronouncing names. I've taken auditing 4 times in the past 2 years, scoring 66, 55, 72, and 69. I'm looking for a tutoring service that can provide a tutor to work privately with me so I can pass this time and not lose another test credit. I noticed that the big review courses don't offer that. Do you know of any reputable services that offer one-on-one tutoring? I don't. You know, I think that if you're scoring like that, and if you feel like you need a tutor, then I think that you need another review course. The one that you're using obviously is not clicking with you. Unless you need like a tutor just for accountability and motivation. I mean, if you're someone who you will only study if someone is sitting there cracking the proverbial whip. I don't know of a tutoring service, but I also don't know that that's necessary. I think you just need a better review course, and I'm just going to read into this that maybe there are some things in your life that you need to set aside temporarily so you can study more, or if you're studying an adequate amount of time, maybe have more focused and intense studying. Be sure that you're taking notes while you're watching your videos. It will keep you engaged and it will help you to absorb the material more easily. Lisa writes, based on your experience, in what order should you take the exams? Okay, she has a 3-part question. So based on your experience, in what order should you take the exams? I would take them financial, auditing, BEC, and regulation. It's kind of an arbitrary order, but I would take them based on perceived difficulty, and that's just my opinion about their order of difficulty. Financial auditing, BEC, and regulation. Is it, her second question, is it wise to buy the to buy a CPA review course before I'm approved by the Illinois Board of Accountancy? I would not buy it until you are approved, because what if something happens and you need to jump through some more hoops to get approved? And guess what? I don't know of any review course that will accept returns, so don't do that. And in your opinion, how important is it to have video lectures in your review course? Extremely important. It keeps you engaged. I think it's extremely important. However, I've had friends that just read the book and passed, but they don't have ADD like I do. So I don't really have ADD. I'm just there were times when that there were other things that I would rather do. So, but I think that applies to all of us. Ashley writes, I have recently started studying for the CPA exam. With my first exam financial on the 26th of October, I've applied for financial and auditing in Washington State. My husband just asked me today if I would want to relocate to Oregon because a position opened up there. I'm seriously considering it, but I'm worried what will happen if I take two tests in Washington before I move. What happens then? Will I have to retake all of them in Oregon? Well, the answer is no, you will not have to retake all of them. The question comes down to what state do you want to be licensed in? And, you know, if you're going to be signing tax returns in Oregon, then you want to be licensed in Oregon. If you're not going to be signing tax returns and protecting the public interest, but you just want to have CPA after your name, then I don't think it'll matter if you're licensed in Washington or not. But the other issue is, what's the reciprocity arrangement between Oregon and Washington? If Oregon and Washington have very similar requirements for certification and licensing, then it's not a big deal. But, it's not a big deal. Basically, are the requirements for sitting in Oregon the same as sitting for Washington in Washington? Are the experience requirements for getting licensed the same? You need to find all those out, but you take two sections in Washington, you move to Oregon, you drive down the street to a Prometric Center in Washington or in Oregon and take an exam as a candidate in Washington. You can do that. You could be sitting in Oregon and take an exam as a candidate from Colorado if you want to. So that's not a big deal. Contact the Oregon Board of Accountancy just to get all the details on how that affects your situation. Casey writes, any advice or techniques for people that require a lot of sleep? I'm currently following the early lunch late plan, which is my L plan, and wake up at 5:30 and study for an hour. That seemed to be my most focused time. I then study at lunch for an hour. I get home a little after 5, and depending on what is for dinner, I will study while eating or won't get started again until 6-ish. As soon as it's about 7:30 to 8, I'm ready to hit the sheets. I don't know if it's beneficial to push through it. Will this time be effective study time, or will I be too worried about going to bed? Any tips or advice? Well, I guess the biggest question is, why do you require a lot of sleep? And if it's because that's just, you know, if your body's accustomed to 10 hours of sleep, then maybe you need to start adjusting. I think they say the average person needs 7 to 8 hours of sleep, but that's not a reality. You know, ask any mother with a newborn. You know, I think my wife right now gets maybe 4 hours of sleep a night. So of good solid sleep. So, but, the quick and easy answer to your question is yes, you need to push through it. And maybe when you get home, maybe you need to hit some caffeine and fight through it. But I mean, you're studying for 1 hour in the morning and maybe an hour in the evening. I mean, maybe 2 hours a day. Try to figure out how to fit 3 hours of study time in. Maybe, okay, you already do study at lunch. So, hey, there's your 3 hours, morning, lunch, and late. So maybe in the evening, if you're studying for an hour, maybe you extend it to an hour and a half and get that extra study time. So maybe it's not a big deal. If you're already studying 3 hours a day, that's pretty good. So I guess scrap everything that I just said. So, but maybe you do push through it, and maybe caffeine is a bad idea, because then you might not go to sleep till like 1 a.m. That's not good. Daniel writes, I understand that the AICPA has implied that law task-based simulations are fair game with regard to regulation. The review course I'm using covers a TBS for most law modules, but it seems like so much information to retain. Have you heard of law being tested in a TBS format? Do you recommend allocating as much time to a law TBS examples as I would with tax TBSs? Well, I'm not a fan of studying simulations anyway, but people haven't told me anything about law simulations because they know that they're not supposed to. And even if they did, I'd be like, blah, 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 blah. That's a joke. And, but would I study a business law simulation? No, because, you know, you might get one, but you know that you're going to get tax simulations, but you might get a law simulation, but there's like, what, 10 topics under business law. I mean, you can't practice for one. You just have to know the business law stuff well enough for the multiple choice questions. And I mean, if it's new, if this is a new thing from the AICPA, then it might be one of the tabs that are pre-test anyway, and you don't even have to worry about it. All right. Well, we answered about 15 questions a day. That's not bad. I will hit the rest of the questions next week. So this concludes this edition of CPA Reviewed. Thank you, everyone, for supporting the site, listening to the podcast, and I will talk to you soon.